and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 1 of the Walks of Life podcast. My guest today on this show is Mr. Perry Menzies. Now, who is Perry Menzies? He's the man behind the Urban Solace Cafe in Bangalore. Now, his cafe is not just the hangout spot for all people from the creative field, but also a platform that promotes all arts alike. You might be a writer, a poet, a comedian, a painter, a filmmaker. Urban Solace in Bangalore is the one place that gives all arts an equal spotlight in the city. Now, I sat down with Mr. Perry Menzies and talked about how he decided to leave his life of advertising to start this space that he runs so dearly, why he decided to start a dedicated space just to promotion of arts, and how important is it to have one place which just promotes live shows, live music, live performances. The problem with live shows these days and how there's no footfall. And also Perry Menzies told me why anybody would want to dedicate their entire life to promoting arts. And his story is worth listening to. So it's a great listen. I hope you share the same emotion. Have a good listen. Let me know what you think. This is episode 1 of the Walks of Life podcast.
Okay, cool. So we'll jump right into it. Thank you for being on my podcast, Perry, firstly.
Wonderful. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much. We're recording this episode right here in Urban Solace. Urban Solace, for anybody who doesn't know, is the cafe where me and a bunch of comedians in Bangalore, almost all of them, started their comedy careers here. And I'm sitting here with the man behind this, Perry Menzies. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Of course, I know you. Everybody in the comedy fraternity knows you. But for somebody who's listening to this podcast for the first time, who is Perry? Can you just like tell me in a few sentences?
I just happen to be lucky to run a place like Urban Solace. And we started off in November of 2009 with the intention of creating Bangalore's first cultural space.
Okay.
And the cafe is built on a philosophy that says that there are 13 energy fields through which one can experience the inner outer self.
Oh, okay.
And anytime anyone comes in contact with any of these energy fields, who you are is no more the same.
Okay.
So we've chosen creative self-expression as a medium for transference of energy. And hence we do multiple things over here. So we do poetry and comedy and music and art and theater and installations and a series of talks on various aspects of life.
So the cafe is just a medium or a space, but it's not the coffee that is the point here. Like,
no, it's, I mean, 80% of our focus is in the curation of experiences.
Okay.
And only 20% of our time and energy goes into managing, you know, inventories and stocks and stores and backend.
Yeah.
Good or bad, I don't know.
Okay.
But it
is good for the art, for the people who need a place.
Yeah.
So that I think everybody in Bangalore, I think, would see this place very synonymous to people who promote art.
Yeah.
But what were you doing before Urban Solace happened? How did this start for you?
Yeah. So I've been in advertising all my adult life.
Okay.
And then in 2009, when I was in the US on vacation, after this great stock market bust, I had decided that, not consciously, but subconsciously, that I don't think I want to come back and start the agency again.
Okay.
In that journey, while in the US, I got a download to come back and convert my office space into a cultural space.
Okay.
And no better fit with, you know, culture and a coffee shop together seemed like the best combination at that point in time.
So you decided to quit the advertising life?
Initially, I didn't quit it because when we came back, for the first couple of years, I ran both the agency and the cafe simultaneously.
Okay.
But I think 2 years into handling both businesses, I had to take a call between one or the other.
Yep.
And I'm happy that I chose the cafe.
Ah, that's nice. So this is how Urban Solace came into like happening.
Yeah. Which,
and it was always here. This is the
it
same.
It was always here. Yeah.
It was always here, right next to the lake and also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Was this also the house where you're advertising?
Yeah. So this whole space was my agency. I used to run my agency out of the space.
Okay.
And then when we first started, we started with one part of the ground floor. And then over a period of time, the cafe acquired the entire agency space.
Okay, nice.
So, yeah, that's how it's been.
So, but now you're very happy doing this. Do you ever look back at like that agency time was so much cooler? That's never happened.
That's never happened because I have been blessed to meet some of the most interesting people in my life right here in the cafe. And I don't think if I didn't have an Urban Solace, I would ever have met those kinds of people.
Of course.
You know, and I think that is my biggest reward. The kind of people I have met over here, the conversations I've had with strangers, and you know, just the ability to, I mean, just the space invites, you know, like-minded people. You
True.
Know, people with a special connect to the universe, and they just show up over here and we have this amazing conversation which can go for minutes to hours, and it, you know, and there begins a beautiful friendship.
I've also noticed anybody who comes here, like if there's some person sitting across the table, like I come here sometimes just to sit on that one stone seat on the outside. That's always been my table.
Yeah.
And there's one person sitting across the room who's also come by themselves.
Yeah.
I can just walk up to them and have a conversation, because I almost feel like people who come here are all in that same thought process of, you know, just wanting to do something different or trying something new.
Yeah, I think you've hit it bang on the head, you know, where the people who are attracted to Urban Solace are what we'd like to call people in a advanced stage of inquiry.
Okay.
I mean, people just go through life with the mundane, go to work, come back, and they have this fantasy that, you know, I must do something.
Yes.
You know, other than just go to work and come back. But the people who come here have created structures in their life where they have isolated time for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and they actually work on that inquiry process.
Okay, so like me time is very specific.
Yeah, me time is very special. And not just me time to do nothing, but me time to learn, to inquire into what do they need to do next in their life.
Okay.
You know, that will bring to fruition all this learning that they've had over the years or the experiences. And how can they just get to share it?
Yeah.
You know, so
coming here has somehow helped people do that also.
I think so. Yeah.
And so you like have all these things. So you do acoustic music evenings, you do poetry, you do stand up, you do movie screenings and things like that. But when you started off, what was that first thing that you started with? Like, which was that concept?
First experience.
Yeah.
So Urban Solace, the positioning line for Urban Solace is Urban Solace, the cafe for the soul. So the first experience that we launched Urban Solace with was Spiritual Sundays at Urban Solace.
Okay.
And we ran that first, and it was, people thought we were crazy to do that, but it was so very personal to us and so strong, that, you know, experience, that we wanted to, you know, sort of cast our nets to attract people who are on a spiritual inquiry.
Sure.
And for the first several months, we did only Spiritual Sundays at Urban Solace, where each Sunday we had a talk or a meditation or a satsang or a consultation with a master who, you know, who would guide the person, the people in, you know, in where they're stuck.
Of course. Okay.
And following that, the first cultural experience that we started off with was poetry. And when we did, it was like people said, you're crazy. Poetry, there's no poets. But we had a strong instruction that we will do it. And we also chose the toughest day in hospitality to do such an event, which is Tuesday.
Which is Tuesday,
yeah. So it just all fell together. Tuesdays with the Bard at Urban Solace. It had a zing to it. It had a magic that we were not aware of. And when we announced and hosted our first Tuesday poetry evening, we didn't know who the second poet was going to be.
You just went with
it. We just went with the, in, you know, with the flow, and says like it's going to happen. And we were so strong in our belief that it would happen. And now several years down the line, we are close to 275 evenings of poetry. And It's a big number, yeah. And to authenticate that number, last year we got listed in the Limca Book of World Records as the longest running poetry experience in the country.
Oh, okay. That's
And I don't know how they found us. And I mean, they have a fabulous mechanism in place to,
of course,
you know,
yes,
identify such events. And we are just grateful that we got listed
on the Limca Book of Records.
Yeah, yeah.
But so when you started with the poetry thing, I think you do poetry yourself.
Yeah, I do.
You do poetry yourself. So the network started from there. Like,
actually, I'm a closeted poet. I haven't shared my work with many,
many people
at
okay.
all. Like, yeah. just select poets who have become very dear friends over the years. And that, I think I can count them on a single hand.
Okay.
But yeah, it just the energy of poetry just grew and grew and grew, you know. So when we did our first evening, we didn't know who the second was. Mm-hmm. And then at one point in time, we had people who had to wait 6 months to become a featured poet.
Poet, okay.
You know, so it became so dynamic as a experience.
So are you saying even till today, there is, if somebody wants to like, somebody writes poetry, wants to start performing it to people, even till today, there is an audience that comes to watch it and
yes.
there's an audience that comes to
listen and to perform.
Yeah.
Yeah. So typically an evening, so our format is very unique and different. So we give each featured poet 1 hour to share their work.
Okay.
And during the whole evening, we also have open mic.
Okay.
You know, so on a good evening, we may have 10 to 20
Poets
who would also share one poem.
Oh, okay.
And depending on how it, you know, connects with the audience, they may be asked to, you know, share a second poem or third poem.
Yeah.
And yeah, so by and large, it's been a combination of individual poets who share their work and, you know, visiting poets who come and read a couple of poems every Tuesday evening.
Okay, so have a lot of people started poetry in Bangalore from Urban Solace? Like, I know it's the same with comedy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the dynamic and the connect is very much the same.
Yeah.
We were the first venue in Bangalore to start poetry.
Okay.
And like in comedy, we were the first venue to start a weekly experience of comedy.
Correct.
And we are blessed that so many poets and comedians have, you know, grown to create their own mark, you know.
Of course.
Globally. So
yeah.
We have poets who've read here for the first time in their lives.
Right.
Who have now been included in anthologies published all over the world.
Oh, okay. See, now that's
poets who have
a long way to go with the art, right?
Yeah, it's fabulous. Yeah. That
with poetry, and so then you have the comedy, and you have, so you work with a lot of artists.
Yeah.
Basically, so you meet and you hang out with the artists here, you talk to them, you give them a stage.
Yeah.
And so many people are there. And do you feel like there is something that has changed over time among artists, like from when you started? So this has almost been what, 8 years?
Eight and a half years
has happened. You think there's been a change in the way people perceive not just the audience but also the performers?
I think there has been quite a change. It's not obvious and in your face kind of change.
Okay.
But
is it grown in the field? Like,
the numbers have certainly grown.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure the energy and the attitude and the space from which some of them are, not to be judgmental, but space from which some of these artists, you know, are attempting to get into these art forms, that has definitely taken a shift.
Okay.
You know, people having looked at others who have, you know, kind of hit the big time or hit a global scene, there's a certain amount of, I don't know, it's aspiration or what it could be.
Yep.
But they're saying like, oh, I want to be like X. And tell me, what do I have to do, Perry? And I have no answers. They did all the hard work.
By just chasing something that you think what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
That happens. Okay, but like one thing that's always like been a question that I wanted to ask you was when we started stand up here, we used to do it on the outside of the cafe. So anybody who's come to this cafe knows there's two parts of the cafe. The one outside where we used to do it. And I remember your neighbors were complaining, saying that there was too much noise. Now the show was going so well that the people were having so much fun that your neighbors had a problem. Now that might be just one of the problems that you have. So like in promoting art or in giving a platform to art, what would be the biggest challenge? I don't think it's the neighbor. Like that, I think, is what we see.
Yeah, I think, see, as a space, we have a dual responsibility. One is to manage the entire experience, and the second is to put the word out in the market.
Right.
Through social media, through PR, through posters, through propagation, through email, and whatever we can afford in terms of marketing collaterals and marketing inputs. I think the challenge is for people to come and, you know,
watch the arts
and support the arts through simply being present.
Yeah.
Because, you know, nearly all our, or perhaps all our events are free.
Yeah.
And so there's no cost involved. Like, you have to buy a ticket and come and watch a poet or listen to a poet.
There's no such thing there, yes.
But, you know, I think that there's a shift in the generosity. I think we had much more generosity that was visible in terms of the number of people who used to come, whether they knew the poet or they didn't know the poet.
They would just show up there because it's a Tuesday and I know there's something happening here.
There will be a poet and I will come and I will listen and I will clap and I will cry.
Okay.
You know, because they didn't know what kind of work the poet did.
Yep.
You know, so I think there's been a shift in that. It could possibly be because people's lifestyles have become more complicated. And
yeah, so I've always been thinking about this. Maybe, like, so now there's so much access to watching content just online. You can just sit on your couch and watch everything that you would come out to usually watch.
True.
So people don't really need to step out of their house, get into a car, dress Absolutely. Up for the occasion, fight traffic, reach a place to see it. People just prefer sitting at home and watching art.
True.
Which is a real, it's a weird shift, because at the end of the day, the artist pays his bills through people coming and watching the art form. But now that we have this whole situation, so what you're trying to say is that the majority of your trouble, or the, how do I put it, the hardest
challenge
part of this is trying to get people to come out and watch it.
I think so. Yeah, because we are fighting for mind space and time space on multiple levels.
Yes.
As you rightly said, like, people can, you know, log into YouTube and watch, you know, any poet they want to. Why should they come here and watch
a
local poet?
Yeah.
But it's not about that. It's about, I think, this local art and culture is what weaves and holds the city together.
Yeah.
You know, and we need support for local talent.
Yep.
You know, there's, how are they going to go international if they, you
That's
know,
true.
If they don't get the local support?
If you're not, if you can't get people in your own city to come watch you, then
trying
to fill up anywhere outside. So is there something that you have done in the last so many years to try and change this? And has it worked out for you? As in, like, do you see that as a victory, that these many people who used to never watch are now regular?
Yeah, I think we have, in all the communities that we have built over the years, be it poetry or music or comedy, we have acquired some stickability with a lot of people.
Correct.
You know, who put in their schedulers and calendars that they will come at least for 2 evenings a month or 1 evening a month. They'd come for some experience here at Urban Solace. And we're really blessed that, you know, they do that. And whenever they have the possibility of dragging a friend along, for sure they will say, look, okay, Tuesday is poetry, let's go to Urban Solace.
Yeah.
You know, and we're really blessed by those people who, have stuck to, you know, supporting the arts.
Correct. But do you think, like, the bigger than social media, I think that word of mouth has always been like the biggest player to promote.
Absolutely.
To promote any art form. Like,
Absolutely.
So we were just discussing this before we started.
Yeah.
That there was the Tamil poet.
Yeah.
Who was here.
The whole, I mean, we are in a very Tamil dominated area.
Yeah.
Being neighbors to the Tamil Sangam. So many years ago, we had a Tamil poet.
Correct.
And simply by, you know, putting up the regular poster that we do and sharing the word with one of the neighbors, we had a fabulous turnout for
60
a Tamil
people.
Poet.
Yeah.
You know, and because largely people are not on social media and stuff like that. But if somebody sees something and they want to share it.
Yeah.
And I think at least 80% of our audience are people who have referred Urban Solace for an experience.
For another person.
For
to
another
come.
Person, yeah.
And
yeah.
Which is where most of the people keep coming back coming
True.
Back to watch one art.
Yeah.
Is it happened that people come here for on a Tuesday to watch poetry and then decide to come back on Thursday for a band? Like, do you have that, or is it very niche? Like, poetry people only like poetry, music people only like music.
Well, there is some amount of overlap in terms of
just people who audience. Want to do anything.
Yeah, there are some people who just want to do everything and they want to try all the experiences here at Urban Solace. So whether there's a connect or not, they just want to go through those experiences.
Yeah.
And we've had guests tell that, hey, you know, I've taken so many things off my to-do list, you know, mm-hmm. and my bucket list. So people have done that.
Yeah.
But there, what we have seen is like somebody who comes for poetry is more predisposed to come for music.
Okay.
Or come for a book club event. As again somebody who comes for comedy wanting to come for poetry or music.
All right, yeah.
You know, so there's a cultural draw,
yeah.
You know, based on personal preferences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there is a number of people who come for multiple experiences here at Urban Solace.
So the point I was trying to get to is, does just promoting all arts, so you promote all arts here, like we've established many times here.
Yeah.
Does it so just promoting one art also, I think, helps bring an audience out just in the first place? So if I'm doing poetry, people come out, they come, they experience something. And then on a Wednesday, they're like, you know what? That was fun. Let's go out and try something else.
Yeah.
So you're just building a bigger audience base. Just in general, people who come out to watch stuff.
True. Yeah. So that has definitely worked for us, by somebody who has come and said, hey, you know what? I've heard about stand-up. Let's come back again tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? And it happens. Yeah. Yeah.
I think we've been doing this stand-up for 7 years now, right? Almost. And
8 years. July made 8 years.
July made 8 years. Eight years. So I think we're India's longest running open mic right now. This is the one that started in Urban Solace. And over time, the people who started here have moved on, doing bigger things, moved to different cities. Now you have a new flock of comics who come in here. So I think every year or two, you see a whole different bunch of people.
True.
Like as a person who's supporting the giving the platform, you see a whole different bunch of people. Do you feel like there is something among the artists that is now different compared to where we started? Like I'm saying, from the comics that we started with to now, the comics that come here with stage time, is there a shift in the way people approach comedy now?
I think there has been a big shift.
Yeah.
One is, if you take the earliest comedians who, you know, started off here or started performing here, Sanjay and Sandeep and Praveen, they had a love and a passion that drove them. And they performed to empty audiences. And
of course,
we had a difficult time doing that.
Yeah, many times. Like when Sanjay would host, he would finish his office, then come down and he would host. And just me and Fala would show up.
Yeah.
And he would like, okay, you do 6 minutes because that's all the time you guys have.
Yeah.
That's all the jokes you have. But I'll try and keep the evening going.
Yeah.
So they worked at a very...
Yeah, so they came with a different passion and an attitude that was warm and loving.
Yep.
And audiences, you know, got a connect to that.
Yeah.
Okay. And the same as we progress a couple of years into that, comedians like Kannan and Kenneth and Biswa and Naveen and Sumuki and all the rest who have now moved out of Bangalore, they had a similar energy, which was loving and positive. And they were patient.
Yeah.
You know, they were eager, but they had a sense of patience that like, we are going to work at our craft. So we've had them sit hours and hours over here working on content,
just
brainstorming, writing, bouncing stuff off. And it's wonderful that, you know, they have grown to find their own mark, both nationally and internationally.
Yeah.
But the current breed, what we observe is that there's a huge amount of impatience. You know, a couple of weeks into doing open mic and they believe that, you know, they have already reached a level where they should have stardom.
Correct. You know? Like, where is my big stage?
I want corporate shows. I want this. I want that.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you think there is some reason why that is happening? Is there, have you been able to crack that at all? Because like,
well,
I've had this discussion.
We can only guess.
Yeah.
We don't have any data or, you know, facts to share, to say that this is the reason. But the guess is that if Kannan could make it, why can't I?
Okay.
You know, that kind of benchmarking or that kind of... I don't even want to use the word aspiration.
Yeah.
But it's like, if they could do it, why can't I get those breaks? Like, you know, there's a sense of entitlement.
True.
If I have to say.
Yeah, I think that's the right word, the sense of entitlement.
Yeah.
But you've been working with artists now for so long. Is there ever a time where you're just like, you know what, I had enough of these guys?
No, never. Because
that never happened to you?
Not at all.
Because I don't know why. Because I manage a couple of venues now outside. Like, I help people.
Yeah.
And at some point, it just gets a really annoying process. Like, I mean, it doesn't, like, I don't give up and just walk away. It's not that annoying.
Yeah.
But like, comics or artists in general, like, they're always looking for stage time. They always want to have so many inquiries. They show up and they're just hanging around at your venue hoping that they can get a spot. Do things like that ever annoy you? Because you have been doing this way longer than anybody else.
Well, sometimes there is a certain amount of irritation that happens when, you know, because while we are trying to do the art form, we also have, you know, regular guests who have not come for, you know, any of the art experiences. They come to have dinner.
Yes.
You know, with a friend or a family or whatever, or just to talk business.
Yeah.
So managing the two, you know, in the same space definitely becomes a challenge. And, you know, there have been times where we had to go to comedians and tell them, hey guys, tone down.
Yeah, please don't. You know, like, ruin my guest's experience. Guests are
getting disturbed. They've come for a different reason and you've come for a different reason and you can't cross over and intrude into their space. So definitely we've had such circumstances and situations where you had to make a request saying like, hey guys, you know, chill, you know. But
there's never that sense of like, oh, you know what, I think
I've had enough.
That hasn't happened.
Fortunately for us, you know, I mean, because of the dynamic in which we've created is that each time we have a different lineup when it comes to comedy.
Of course, yeah.
So you have different energies, different people, different, you know, takes on life.
Yeah.
And that keeps the energy flowing, I think.
Yeah, that just keeps you motivated to keep doing it the next time.
Yeah. It is a lot of hard work. And sometimes I say, like, you know, if I put the same energy into promoting my food and beverage over here, I would be in a different place. But that, the intention is very different.
The intention is not to,
not that.
Yeah, the hero here is not the sandwich.
It's not the sandwich. But yeah, you know, the talent that is being showcased, the opportunity that artists get to, you know, come up and, you know, risk humiliation.
Of course, yeah.
You know, when they're in the spotlight, for any reason, they could just go blank.
Yeah.
You know, and then still come back the next week.
Okay.
You know, that's a magical thing.
Yeah, that I agree with. So, like, every time you get on stage, you have, like, an awful set. You still want to get back on to fix that. Like, it's not like, you know what, it didn't work out, now I don't want to do this. That kind of never happens. Never,
no,
almost.
No.
Like, I think, see, with so many people performing here week in, week out, we discuss this, like, about how the audience is not coming in to watch shows these days is a big hit for the whole community. People watch art form, people don't come in. Are you doing something very specific now to deal with this problem?
I don't know. I mean, see, one is we don't have a lot of financial resources or manpower resources to invest in, you know, the change that has happened through social media and other, you know, digital marketing forms. But we continue religiously doing, you know,
what
sending emailers, posting it on Facebook, cross-promoting it on, you know, similar like groups or similar attitude groups and sending our press notes out. Sometimes they get picked up, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
But we do our job consistently week on week for every event. And we just hope that, you know, somebody will pick it up, somebody will see, somebody will want to meet the artist.
Yep.
You know, so we do our job.
Yeah. Like, so because it's not as simple as it was from eight years ago, like we discussed. So there's 65 venues now doing the similar things, doing the same things. But since you guys always started earlier, do you think that's a big advantage for you?
I don't know. I mean, if the proof of the pudding is in the eating, then it's, I wouldn't say that. Maybe there is a, we have a higher residual awareness that, you know, comedy Urban Solace.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily convert into people coming to a show.
Right.
You know, we still have to do the hard work. For example, if the week we don't put up event early enough, for sure we're going to have less visitors, less turnout. So the work has to be done.
Yeah.
You know, despite the fact that we were the first people, and people have very short memories. So, you know, they may have come, but if there's something closer to home, they don't have to commute.
Now they just,
you know, they just,
it's easier
that
for them to go there now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Which, like, now gets me to a very important thing that's always been, I've always wanted to ask you this. Like, why do you do this?
Why do I do it?
I know that you've been promoting arts. You have been supporting artist. You've been running this cafe now for that long. But what why do you do this? Like, I know it's motivating to you. Like, we started this conversation there where you didn't want to do the ad work anymore. But you're helping other people out. I get it. It's people are getting their careers set because of Urban Solace. But why does Perry do this?
I don't know for sure. I mean, many times this question comes up. One is, I received this whole idea as a, it's not my creation. It's an idea that I received as what I term as a download. And I'm going with that download. I'm the highlight of doing what I do is the privilege I get to meet people who I would never in several lifetimes have met.
Okay.
You know, people who are artists and thinkers and philosophers and musicians and people who have multiple skill sets and multiple talents and who have put energy into all of those talents.
Right.
You know, so we've featured somebody who's been a poet, who's a comedian, who's a musician and an artist.
Right.
Like, we would never have done, and all of those art forms he first showcased over here at Urban Solace, you know, which never could have happened.
Which wouldn't have happened.
And we've done that for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And that magic is, I don't know how to, there's no money that you can say, oh, I have made X. I haven't made any X.
Yeah.
So, but.
So you're saying that the success of a previous event keeps you motivated to do the
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. If you get a fabulous poet and people, you know, love it, and then like by default we are already on a roll as to how to, you know, put more energy into the next week's experience.
Right, so you want to keep it going because it was so
and so many people have been touched by that experience, you know, and we see it tangibly when it comes to poetry or music.
Mm-hmm.
In comedy, you know, it's difficult to judge whether one laugh is better than the other or one joke is better than the other. But overall, if they leave with an experience like, wow, I had a great evening, we are happy. You know. But in poetry, there is a conscious shift that happens.
Yeah.
People are touched. People are moved. People are inspired by, you know, how vulnerable another person can be, you know, by sharing raw emotions, you know, in front of strangers. And that shifts. You know, people have come back to us saying that, you know, wow, you know, that really moved me. I had a similar experience, but I've just been hiding it from myself. I haven't told anybody in the world.
Yeah.
You know, but I was just like, wow. Now I think I can, you know, I can even attempt to share this with another human being without the fear of being judged.
True, that's true. So just having that space.
Yeah.
Just having, providing people that space.
Yeah, that's...
Which leads me to my next question, okay. Which is it really important to have a dedicated space for performance? So like, now that there is so much room for people to do this, like I have come across posts on Facebook and Instagram where people are doing places, like you give them a small room anywhere and they just hold a mic and they start performing.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard this, it sounds very poetic and dramatic to say that, just give me a mic and I will do my show, you know, it sounds poetic to say that, like all I need is a mic and an audience. But I feel like there's way more that goes into just producing any live show, any live performance.
Yeah.
So how important is a dedicated space?
I think a dedicated place is like, it's like a vortex, and multiple people with multiple talents and multiple energies come into that place and they leave it behind. Part of their soul is left behind here in Urban Solace. And I think that is what has, you know, allowed the arts to grow and to
like, you it's know, creating an ecosystem.
It's creating an ecosystem, yeah. So we've created ecosystems, we've say, created communities and multiple communities across different art forms that come back on a regular basis.
There's always that one place you can basically fall back at, saying that
kind of,
I can do this here.
Yeah.
Which is very different from doing it in a place which also does not do arts, but on the weekends we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that's very different?
I think it's very different. It's very different. It calls for a lot of discipline, because many times we get into a crossroad, we say like, damn it, this is not working. You know, it's too much of a struggle. Like, we'll close all these, you know, events down and we'll just focus on food.
The F&B.
Yeah. You know, but we have never done that.
Yeah.
Because you can't do that.
You can't do that.
Yeah. You know, and the day we even come close to thinking a thought, you'll have somebody walk in and say, like, Perry, you know, I have this idea. Hmm. You know, can we try it out here in Urban Solace? And
so you also become this approachable place now that people can come and just be available. Like, art can happen here.
Yeah.
Like, if I want to do it, like, you even, I've seen you do photo exhibitions here. So they're just on the wall.
Yeah.
Across the week.
Yeah.
People come to watch other art forms and yet admire this art which is on the wall.
True.
Right?
True.
So it's almost become a space. So
it has,
before we close this conversation, I want to know if there is something that, there's this one story from Urban Solace that you want to tell people about, like something that happened here, something that was like a, it was like your flip in the movie that if you made a biopic that happened in Urban Solace.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I haven't really thought of it, but there are many things that touch us on a daily basis. And, you know, we say, we often use this language that, you know, miracles happen at Urban Solace.
Yep.
And I think there are quickly I'll share with you two things that,
perfect.
You know, one of the things we do religiously here at Urban Solace is that we have this set of affirmation cards that we give out to every guest who comes in.
The one that's on the basket.
So we ask them to choose, and we believe those cards are transvibratory, and it's a message from the universe for you at that moment in your life.
Right.
I think one of the most precious experiences was when a guest came in and they just say, I came to just see the place. I'm not going to have anything. And I said, perfectly, walk around. And before they left, I offered them an affirmation.
Okay.
And they chose an affirmation and read it and simply burst into tears.
Oh, okay.
I mean, unknown person, maybe in her 40s, who simply burst into tears on reading it.
Was just stepping out of the house that day. That's it.
Yeah. She came here and she picked up her affirmation and she wept. Okay. I don't know how. I mean, there's no price you can put for that experience. It's just magical.
Right.
And whatever she was searching for, whatever she was looking for, got healed in that instant. She was searching for an answer in her life and she got it through that affirmation. I mean, that power and that privilege of being there to witness that moment,
right?
I think is one of the, you know, fabulous highlights.
And she had no idea that was going to happen when she left home that day.
We give out affirmations, none of that. She just came out of curiosity to the space, but she left completely different. Yeah, so that is something that we hold very, very dear to us.
Right.
The other story that I'd like to share is that when it comes to poetry, we have always been a space of no judgment.
Right.
So poets would say, no, Perry, you look at my work and tell me whether it's, you know, I can share it. I said, no. If you have come to me and said you want to share your poetry, I'm not here to sit in creative judgment of your work. Because it's your journey.
Uh-huh.
It's your language. It's what you have experienced. What you've been inspired to write. So we had this very successful businesswoman who also wrote poetry. And when she was the featured poet, she shared a poem she had written nearly 20 years ago.
Okay.
About an abortion that she had.
Okay.
And at that point in her life, she couldn't tell anybody about it. Her husband did not know. Her mother did not know. Nobody knew. And she shared that poem. And her mother was in the audience. Her husband was there. Her 22-year-old daughter was there.
Right.
And when she shared that, they just got up from the audience and went up and hugged the poet.
Because it's just a platform to express.
Yeah. It was so pure and so beautiful. And she was carrying this kind of, you know, dark secret.
Mm-hmm.
But she shared it over here. And it broke down all those years of blocking out people in your life.
Right.
I mean, I think that was the most powerful experience we've had in terms of the most private experience on someone's life being written and shared, you know, for the first time over
Correct,
here.
Correct, right. And just that, having that freedom.
Yeah, the freedom to say that. And the magic of people accepting that. you know, her mother and her husband and her daughter got up from the audience and went while she was on stage in the spotlight and hugged and kissed and cried with her. I mean, so much of healing, 20 years of carrying a burden, healed in one moment.
True.
I think that is another very, very special thing that we carry with us.
Urban Solace has pretty much been like a space for expression, if I can call it that.
Absolutely.
Like, if you have something to say, you can say it
in any
poetry,
manner or form.
Right? You can say it in poetry, you can say it as a song, you can say it as a joke.
Absolutely.
So you can do whatever it is.
Yeah, you can put up a painting of your emotion, you can do whatever you want to.
Right.
Yeah.
And having that space is very important for everybody, right?
I believe so. I think it holds the communities and multiple communities. It offers an opportunity to cross connect with artists. And it does magical things, I think.
That's true. So just having that space, just knowing that I can go here and I can do this, like,
I believe so. Yeah, I'd like to believe that that's the reason.
That's very nice. So, but thank you for doing this. Thank you for running Urban Solace. Thank you for giving an art platform. Thank you for letting us perform here all these years. Although I know we've been a noisy bunch, we just sit outside. But we've still been doing this for the last 8 years, and I hope we'll keep doing this for as long as we can. And anybody who's listening, thank you for tuning in. This was our podcast with Perry. And if you liked what you heard today, come to Urban Solace, let Perry know. It's located at Ulsur, and we do shows here all the way from Monday to the weekend. There's something here every day for everybody. So just come say hi to Perry. Perry, you want to say something?
Yeah, thank you so much, Krithan, for putting this together.
Thank you so
much. And we're really happy to have met you on our journey of Urban Solace.
Thank you so much, Perry. All right, that brings us to the end of today's podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great evening. Thank you so much. Cheers. All right, and that was episode 1 of the Walks of Life podcast. That was so much fun to do. Thank you for listening and making it all the way till the end. I would like to thank Audio Boom and my friend Rupin Paul for making this happen. It is a lot of fun doing this, and I'm putting up another episode 2 Fridays from now. That is with Karthik Kumar. We break down his book Don't Startup, which is a book that is very deceptive with its title, where it says don't startup, but it's all about how to make it in the startup world. And thank you for listening. If you liked it, do send me a tweet on Twitter or follow me on Facebook. Tell your friends about it. This was the Walks of Life podcast. Have a great week ahead.